Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you personally be more strategic as a leader? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where we help you to stand out and get ahead in your career. In just a minute, we're going to talk about how to ask questions to drive clarity, alignment, and strategic insight. But first, a friendly reminder that you can get more of LeadX throughout your day by following LeadX Life on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. That's LeadX Life, L-I-F-E. And remember, I answer listener questions every Friday on our weekly wrap-up show. You can submit your question by going to leadx.org/askkevin. You click the little button on the screen, ask your question out loud, and the microphone on your computer or phone will record it and send it to me. If I play it back on the air, we'll send you a cool t-shirt, coffee mug, some other swag. People are asking me about leadership, productivity, entrepreneurship, writing, public speaking. It's really an AMA, an Ask Me Anything. So go to leadx.org/askkevin. Today's 1 minute tip is be specific with your criticism. Be specific when you criticize. When you're giving feedback to an underperforming employee, it can be tough, but done right, feedback is a gift. It makes them better. They want to get better. So how can you be specific? Don't use emotionally charged or general language like that was terrible or you got to do a better job on your timesheets. You know, that's going to make people feel bad and not give them the ability to improve. And that can actually start a downward cycle. So instead, you know, state the impact that their behavior or their, you know, lacking behavior has on the business. I might say, "Hey, Amanda, you didn't log all your overtime hours on the Acme project last week." Now, if we don't have accurate project accounting, we won't know how to budget and schedule future projects that are of a similar nature, and we might be back in an overtime situation. So it's really important that you log those hours so we can forecast more accurately in the future. Now, you always want to work towards a solution with the person. You know, do they need additional training? Do they need more resources? Were they unclear on the expectations? So you'll never know unless you ask an open-ended question like, what do you need that you're not currently getting? Or will you be able to, you know, hit this performance standard? Will you be able to hit this right in the future? Or do you need something else? Create that accountability plan together. Be specific with your criticism. Our guest today is a business advisor, consultant, author, and speaker. A former Fortune 500 executive, she now works with global leaders on strategy, execution, and influential leadership. She teaches leadership development for Harvard Business School Publishing, is published in HBR, and in her own blog, which has been read in 75 countries. I invited her onto the show because I loved her recent Harvard Business Review article called Being a Strategic Leader is About Asking the Right Questions. Our guest is Lisa Lai. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you on and to talk about your article, but I always start out by asking our guests to actually share a time when you failed at something, maybe early in your career. We want to know, you know, what's the lesson you learned? Because we want to learn from your failure too.
So first, I'll start by saying that I love that you ask your guests to share a story about failure. Right out of the gate. There's no breathing room here. And one of the reasons that I think it's so interesting is that coming up in our careers, we're encouraged to talk about our successes, but so rarely about our failures. And anyone who's been successful in their career has had a lot of failures, and certainly no exception here. So I'll share with you, I was once fired from a high-profile job. I've had the wheels fall off the wagon multiple times on initiatives at work. But today what I'd like to do is share a story that I was just recalling the other night over dinner with a former colleague. And this is one of the most important lessons I've learned in business to this day, and it actually happened over 20 years ago. So I'll set the stage for you.
All right.
I was in my first VP role in a Fortune-ranked company. And, you know, I had just turned 30. I was pretty inexperienced, but also felt very confident in my abilities. And we were getting ready to launch the first residential cable modem in the U.S. And we had an IPO taking our company public that was supposed to follow in just a matter of weeks. So we had this tremendous amount of pressure. We had lots of overtime for me and for dozens of other people that were working on this initiative. And we had settled on a date to launch, and we brought a team of around 20 leaders together to ensure that we were ready. So I was tasked with leading this all-day session. And we realized pretty early on that we weren't ready to launch. We had a lot of final details to take care of. So we dug in deep. We spent many hours locked in this conference room late one evening trying to identify what needed to happen and what we thought was a more reasonable time frame so that we could have a bulletproof launch of our product. And at the end of this meeting, everyone was feeling great. We all felt relieved. We decided we were going to push the launch out by a couple of weeks. Everybody felt great. So getting to the lesson, I sat down with my CEO the next day, and I was feeling very confident. I laid out what I thought was this very thoughtful, well-articulated plan for how we'd be ready to launch 2 weeks later. And he leaned back in his chair, and he said something to the effect of, "I don't care about any of this. You spent all of this time, which frankly none of you have, and you fundamentally answered the wrong question. The question isn't how much time do you need to feel ready to launch? The question is, what is it going to take to have this launch be on time and successful?" So I had invested 10 hours locked in a room, developing a plan that 20 other leaders walked away feeling great about. But I had to go back to the entire organization the next day and tell them that we weren't moving the launch date and we had to find a way to make it happen. And as you might imagine, I mean, it wasn't a full-on mutiny, but there was a pretty big rebellion. And I knew in that moment that I just never wanted to feel that way again. And it was all because, to the lesson, I hadn't been intentional. I hadn't been excruciatingly clear about what we needed to accomplish. And, you know, we went on to have a multi-billion dollar IPO, so we clearly figured it out. We got it done. But that lesson has really informed how I lead every day, which is be intentional, be clear, and recognize that ambiguity in many ways is the enemy of greatness.
I love that. Ambiguity is the enemy of greatness. And I love this story so much. I want to poke on it a little bit more. So, you know, looking back, you know, do you think, because we don't know all of the context that was going on, and hopefully with this many years later, you can provide a candid answer. I mean, was your boss right? Like, was it, yes, that deadline should have been the fixed variable and you should have figured out, all right, what do we do to meet that date? Or do you think you were probably right that doing the launch the right way without killing everyone, 2 extra weeks wouldn't really matter? I mean, I'm curious about that variable of the date itself.
Well, it's interesting because the colleague that I was having dinner with the other night was actually my boss, the CEO from 20 years ago, which is why we were having the conversation. And he said to me point blank, "You know that I was right." And I had to admit that he was. He was absolutely right. The fact is, we had a competitor who launched about 2 weeks after we did, and we would not have been the first to market. And you know, I think it really would have hurt us competitively over time. That was our claim to fame for many years. So he was right, despite me having to admit that. It really was, he had the right idea about the right question we were trying to answer. And it was a really big kind of material mistake and lesson for me.
And, you know, Lisa, this is really a comment more for the listeners, you know, LeadX family out there. And of course, I think, of course, I was curious about Lisa's answer, but it really doesn't matter. I mean, if the boss says it's got to go when it's got to go, then you need to really, it doesn't matter whether that's the right call or not. You need to adjust. But what I like about your story also, Lisa, is it really gets to the power of asking the right question. And often I talk about exponential thinking. And I can remember one of my early companies was acquired by another company, and my new CEO and partner wanted me to double revenue year over year. And I was a fairly small company, so I wasn't asking that much. But at the time, I thought that was crazy. So I said, my response when I came back and had the meeting was kind of similar to yours. I said, well, I can't double revenue next in 1 year, but I can double it probably in like 2 or 3. And this is how I'm going to do it. And he immediately shut me down. And in a similar fashion, he said, no, wrong question. What would it take to double revenue in 1 year? And he was asking that question, not even like I had to do it or that was required, but he was training me to think. I mean, okay, you've got 5 cold callers out there, Kevin. You know, what if I gave you 50? Would that do it? You know, you spend $50,000 on marketing. What if I gave you $5 million? So he was trying to get me to think about, you know, what are the true levers, and to just break through my thinking of, oh, let's just grow, you know, fast, but not crazy. And we ended up, you know, doubling revenue and having a you know, great experience, but it really did change that question. It's so powerful.
Well, I think it's an amazing thing when someone pushes you to develop your own critical thinking skills. And when you're in those situations and you're forced to think about things a little differently than what comes comfortably or naturally, it's such a great growing opportunity for all of us. And it sounds like your experience was very similar to mine in that regard. And I guarantee you that you and I probably make sure we're asking the right questions now moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Lisa, you're on to your HBR article. Being a strategic leader is about asking the right questions. And one of the things I loved about the article is so much advice I get from guests on this program. It's around, oh, you've got to keep your team aligned with the strategic goals and, you know, make sure that to engage them, get them working on the right stuff. They understand, you know, the big picture, but nobody really talks about, okay, well, how do I align them? Like, what do I specifically do? And your article lays out the questions, you know, 5 questions that we could be asking our team members to make sure they're strategically, you know, aligned with the rest of the organization. So, you know, walk us through the article, walk us through the questions.
Yeah, you bet. And I think it's so true. There are so many people who talk about strategy and the importance of alignment, and there's all this complexity that finds its way into conversations about strategy. We even have, you know, these very sophisticated constructs that we use in business that try to isolate strategy or at least examine strategy absent of what's being done of value today. And so the 5 questions really serve as a guide to kind of engage other people in dialogue so that ultimately you're making the right strategic choices for the organization. So let's jump in. The first question on the list is, what are we doing today? And on the surface, it seems so straightforward. But in reality, I think it's really hard for leaders to keep track of everything that's being done by their teams. So we keep adding more and more to the plate every day with new initiatives or, you know, these bright, shiny objects that someone in the organization wants us to chase. But I think we don't stop often enough to just understand how are our employees investing their 2,000 plus hours of time at work this year. And I don't think we can make the right choices about where to go if we don't know where we are today, kind of rationalizing what's currently in play for our teams.
And Lisa, this is amazing because I think, again, there's a lesson here for as leaders, we really need to ask that question because it's easy to lose track of what everybody's working on. But also all of us as individuals, we can sort of manage up by realizing our managers, our bosses probably don't know everything that we're doing. And even on my own team, I mean, LeadX is a startup. We're a baby-sized company. And, you know, one of my young team members just last week, it was time for her like 6-month review, 6-month check-in. And I asked her, I said, hey, all right, take a look at all the things you've produced, not your activities, but the outputs. And she gave me this long list. And I mean, it was way more than I had ever realized. And it's not like I'm ignoring her or the company. I'm working it with her, and we're a small team. And it's so easy to lose track of all of that stuff. So what a great foundational question. You know, what are we doing today? What's everybody working on?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the first question, because if you don't know that, you really can't start talking about what else can we do, because you don't have an understanding of how time is being spent today. And it's all about trade-offs and choices, you know, for us as leaders and for us as individuals. And so, yeah, so starting off there, I think, is really important. And from there, I think, you know, the next natural question is to say, why? Why are you doing the work that you're doing, and why now? So once we know what's being done, I think it's important to understand the team's perspective on what's important and why. And in almost every case, when you ask this question, you learn a lot about what your team members believe is important. Mm. You know, most of them will have a strong point of view about what matters to the customers they serve or what's required to support others in the business. It's all about having a discussion and putting yourself in a position so that you can make those choices and those trade-offs with limited resources. And all of us, whether we're leaders or not, are faced with having to make these decisions today. But I think another thing that I love about this question about, you know, why are we doing what we're doing, is it also puts you in a really fantastic position to help your associates attach meaning to their work. Like talking about what you do and why it's important, it really allows everyone to feel a little better about what they're doing, because suddenly they realize, I'm not just in the grind. This is actually important work that I'm doing. Let's talk about it.
And that ties right into your third question, right?
Absolutely. So the third question then moves on to say, how does what we're doing today align with the bigger picture? So, you know, as leaders, one of our most important responsibilities is to make sure that what we're doing kind of aligns to the greater good of the organization. And if you don't understand what you're doing or why you're doing it, then clearly you're not going to understand if you're really getting maximum benefit of all the work you're doing. So I always challenge my clients with the question, are you doing exactly and only what most benefits the organization overall? And that includes your customers, your shareholders, the bottom line, and your employees.
I like those words, exactly and only. And in this time where we're all feeling, you know, overworked and overwhelmed, I think somehow we end up working on a lot of things that really just aren't that critical. So are we exactly and only working on those items?
Yeah, and it's fascinating because when I go into organizations and I'm working with them on strategy, I'll ask them this question, are you doing exactly and only what most benefits the organization? And they'll say, absolutely, yes, there's nothing that we're doing that we can stop doing. And then when we start looking at it, inadvertently, we can save about 20% of the time that's being invested by just stop doing things in the organization.
Yeah, it's not just about your to-do list, it's your stop doing list that counts.
That's
too.
Right. That's exactly right.
All right, so what do we ask next?
So next up is defining success for your team. So this is really answering the question, what does success look like? And we've all seen balanced scorecards and monthly metric summaries that businesses kind of live and die by, but do they really tell the story of what success looks like for your team? And if we ask the team, could they actually answer the question of what success looks like? And in my opinion, the best strategic thinkers invest time here. What are the activities, the behaviors, the relationships, and the outcomes that really drive success? And I think this is how you align a high-performance team.
That's great. I'm just taking notes myself. And then there's one final question to ask in your series. What is it?
So the final question, what else could we do beyond what we're doing today to achieve what I call more, better, faster? So finally, we get to the strategy conversation around new and better ways to, you know, achieve the company's goals. And this is the most important, I think, of the five questions. But if you don't ask the other questions first, you're not going to be in a position to make good choices. So, you know, more, better, faster results, always really important. But informed strategic decisions are made in context, strategy in the context of everything else that you do every day.
So we have our set of questions. I want to do a follow-up here on sort of the practical process. Like, do we talk to our, is this a one-on-one conversation? Is it a team conversation? How often should we have the conversation?
So what I've done throughout my career and helped other leaders do is kind of set a cadence that's appropriate for the business. So if you're a startup organization, Kevin, you and your team probably need to be having these conversations, you know, maybe once a month, where you're just kind of evaluating, are we still focused on the right things? Is there anything that we need to take off our plate and stop doing? Are there any new strategic initiatives we want to introduce? But larger organizations can follow a slower cadence, but it's all about dialogue. And in most cases, what I recommend are team conversations followed up by individual conversations with kind of your key contributors in the organization, just to make sure that you're hearing kind of what the group might come up with, but also the collective genius of the individuals on your team.
And I like that answer. And I always remind people that the speed of the organization sort of mirrors the speed of your communication. And really, it goes both ways. And a bigger, slower beast, maybe things aren't changing as often and there's less to align to. But certainly in the startups, you have to do it more frequently. And related to this topic of, you know, being a strategic leader, we've got our questions set and some ideas on how to implement them. But is there something specific that you can challenge us to do, like, before the end of the day? Because I'm always telling our listeners, like, look, don't try to transform in this big, you know, movement in your life or at work. Just get a little bit better every day. And after a year, you will have had remarkable, you know, transformation. So how can we get started? What should we do differently today?
So I would say two things, actually. I'll give you two pieces of advice here. The first in my mind is to really challenge yourself personally, whether you're a leader or not yet a leader, to say, am I providing value? Just looking at what you're doing today to say, if I know what the larger goals of the organization are, am I providing value? I think the second piece is to say, really committing yourself to intellectual curiosity. And I know that sounds a little bit like apple pie, so let's get practical here. I have a specific challenge that I give to many of my clients, and I ask them to spend a couple of days doing nothing but asking questions. So if it, at the end of the day, you could say to yourself, tomorrow I'm going to do nothing but ask questions. I'm not going to provide any direction, no answers, no sharing my own point of view. And of course, in full transparency, my customers hate me in the moment. But being inquisitive and genuinely curious with other people fundamentally changes the dynamic of every relationship that you have. And for leaders specifically, I think they quickly realize that their people are much stronger and more capable when they don't give them all the answers. And so it's a fascinating experiment, and not just for leaders. I actually have this one-page exercise that I hand out to people, and it's really pretty game-changing. So I guess challenging yourself, am I providing value, and am I demonstrating intellectual curiosity to bring out brilliance from other people that are around me? It's a great exercise, and I'm happy to share the exercise with you if you're interested.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I was going to say, this is something that I hope all of our listeners take advantage of, and I would encourage you, LeadX family, to email me back with your experiences, which I would share, of course, with Lisa, because I'm sure this is a lot more difficult than we might think. You know, can you go through an entire day or 2 days only asking questions, you know, of team members? I think that's a great one.
It's really difficult. And I've actually had leaders who their team members have texted me to say, what's going on? What did you do to him? Why is he suddenly asking my opinion about everything? But it actually is like I said, quite a game changer. And it's worth the challenge to try it and see what you can learn from the experience.
Now, Lisa, you mentioned when you were sharing your failure story, you were a VP at a Fortune-ranked company at the age of 30. So I can't help but ask, you know, what advice would you give today to a young professional? Maybe she's, you know, just starting out in her career, but she's ambitious, wants to be viewed as a high potential. What advice would you give her?
Sure. I would say my best advice is to be thoughtful about how you choose to show up every day at work. And it is a choice, even if we make it by default. And so why not make it by design? I think people form opinions on you about you based on three factors that I talk about, kind of who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And so the advice I would give is to say, you know, think about how you would want someone to describe you, and then choose to behave in a way that would cause them to say exactly those things you would want them to say. And the more intentional you are about this, the more powerful you'll be in life and at work.
Who, what, and how? And what about young managers, first-time manager out there, first-time supervisor, looking back at maybe some of your early leadership mistakes, what advice would you give to them?
Oh my goodness. Well, I remember what it's like to be a first-time manager. I'll start there. You know, you're kind of overwhelmed and you have all these competing priorities and you're feeling both confident and unsure, I think, at the same time. I would say early in my career, I was very focused on delivering results. And that wasn't a bad thing, of course. But what I know now is that what's most important to get right in the early days is to be a good human as a leader, to treat your team members as though they matter, and not just to the organization, but to you personally. Get to know them, respect them. And the trick that I always tell people is to treat your employees as you would want your wife or husband or daughter or son to be treated by their own leader. And if you get that right, if you put people first, the rest will follow. The results will follow.
It's a great thought exercise. I've never heard that before, and that really does
put it into perspective even better than treat people how you would like to be treated, because sometimes we don't care so much about ours. But, you know, as a dad to three kids, I think about, how do I hope that that they're treated? Who do I hope that they have to work for and be mentored by? So I think that's great. Lisa, how can our listeners find out more about you and your work?
So to learn more about my work, listeners can visit my website at laiventures, laiventures.com. I'm published on Harvard Business Review, founded hbr.org on topics of motivation and persuasion and strategy. My blog that Kevin mentioned earlier, How to Succeed in Business Without Eating Your Soul for Breakfast, can be found at soulforbreakfast.com. And there's all kinds of free advice for business professionals out there. And I'm also on Twitter at soul4breakfast.
Lisa, we'll make sure we put all of those links up in the show notes so that our listeners get those right. And big thank you for coming on to the show.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Kevin. I love this topic. I'm obviously passionate about it, and I appreciate the opportunity to share it with all of your listeners. Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Great. Thank you.
LeadX family, don't forget you can get links and notes from this interview over at leadx.org, and you can also download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership, at leadx.org/Branson. And if you want to get more LeadX in your everyday life, just follow us at LeadX Life on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. That's one word, LeadX Life. And if you've ever gotten even just one good idea from a LeadX show, do me a huge favor. It takes less than a minute. And just subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave a quick rating. Just go to leadx.org/subscribe. Until next time, friends, remember, leadership is about influence, which means we are all leaders. Whether you're a salesperson or a soldier, an entrepreneur or an executive, a coach or a counselor, you are leading all of the time. You positively influence with your behavior, and you influence negatively when you're a bystander. How will you lead today?